You're listening to episode 90 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Battle of Three Conferences.
Episode 90 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is June the 16th, 2013. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my brother who didn't stay in Las Vegas, James Furlough.
That's right, I stayed slightly off the strip. It was awesome. Actually, I was in Las Vegas all week, trying to avoid all the news as much as possible. It didn't work, but I'm back
from...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did you say, how much did you drink and gamble away of your net savings?
Yes, that's a good question. I'm going to write a blog post. I don't know if I'll get to it tomorrow, but definitely by Tuesday. That will be titled, How to Have Fun in Las Vegas Without Gambling.
Nice.
That is what I did. We did all sorts of stuff. Here's the preview. We saw a Cirque du Soleil show. We went to the M&M store, the Coke store. We did the CSI experience. We walked through all of the hotels. The Luxor was pretty cool. We rode the trams. Did I mention we went to a show? What else did we do? We ate at a bunch of different restaurants, which was fun. We walked around a ton. We did the first day we did 28,000 steps. The second day we did 29,000 steps. Again,
nice.
2,000 steps to a mile. A normal human being does about 5,000. You're healthy if you do 10,000. So we were like three times healthy despite being there. I will admit I did have an Irish beer one night and a glass of Merlot another night. The second night,
man.
I guess. I know. I'm nuts. We ate this. It was this fine Parisian restaurant one night. It was cool.
See, you and I, we pose a nice balance because I left Nevada pretty much the day you went to Nevada, and I drank more in the 6 hours that I was there than you drank in the week you were there. That's pretty awesome.
You see,
the thing is, it's funny. I do like the title of the post how to have fun in Vegas without gambling, because I can't have fun gambling because unfortunately I'm halfway decent at math
I know
it's brutal. I can't, like, you know what it was like, and it actually, like, when it finally, like, emotionally sunk in, the idea of, you know, the house always wins, was when I was playing roulette and I realized I could bet on red and black at the same time. I could literally bet on everything on this idea that, like, you know, you which, if you know anything about how roulette winning works, which means you're basically betting on, you know, on 98 of the 100, and you win back. If you will win, as long as it doesn't land on one of the blank ones, you will win, and you'll only win back as much as you put on the table. That's your best shot at winning. You don't actually win anything. You just don't lose anything unless you land on one of the two green ones. And it's just like, emotionally, the idea of my best strategy for not losing puts me at a 2% loss every time. It's just like...
Your expected return is a loss. No, there was one point where I was talking with Jesse. We were talking about the slots, which I think is a joke because you just hit a button and it's like, it's worse than television, man. They're just staring at the screen, just going. I'm like,
oh yeah.
I get it if you're doing it for entertainment and joy, but there is no external joy happening there. You are zoned out. Might as well just watch television, save the money, and you'd look like you'd have just as much fun. But anyways.
And honestly, drinking while watching TV, way more fun.
But we were talking at one time, because we were talking about the different strategies, because I was like, my problem is after each, like, slot round, I would want to analyze what happened and try to figure it out and try to, like, understand it. And, you know, but it's like, it's a joke. That's pointless, like you were talking about. And, you become more frustrated the more you do. And Jessie was with me, and she goes, well, you should just do, like, the max bet on all of them at all the time, and that's probably your best bet. And I went, well, except for the fact that your expected return, once you – if we knew what their actual algorithms were, we would find out that your expected return is less than your bet. So if you bet a dollar, your expected return is always going to be less than a dollar. Like, with a lottery, the expected return for that, for every dollar you play, is 33 cents. And so the actual – the best bet that you can make is none at all.
Yeah, every
and that
time,
just takes the fun
time.
Out of it for me because I want to
really
win.
It really does. I know. You see, and that's the problem is it's not even like I don't even have any moral like thing against gambling. Like as long as you have the money and you're doing it in a restrained fashion, it just isn't fun. I find no joy in knowing that I'm going to lose. The only one that I can even justify is playing like Texas Hold'em against
yes.
the group because then the odds aren't stacked against me.
Yes.
But I'm not any good.
Yes.
So it's like playing
exactly
Halo with
I
a bunch
say.
Of people that are great. Yeah. And you just sit there and you go, I'm going to play against people and I'm just going to give them my money. I might as well. Honestly, I'd rather go to a bar and buy you drinks and have a sing karaoke and waste my money that way.
Which, like, which again, you're just saying that you have other forms of entertainment that you like more. And as opposed to gambling.
Right.
And that's okay. I think, you know, some people get into the fallacy of they're not – they would say it's entertainment because that's the socially acceptable thing to say, but
yeah.
they're actually playing to win money, and you're like, there's a reason why those hotels are ginormous.
Yeah.
They didn't steal the money, trust me.
Right.
So
anyway,
I was there.
I'm gonna say I gotta cut you off because we have got a gigantic week, and
we
can't talk about Vegas all week long. I know. So this week, like every week, we're gonna be talking about technology, a ton of technology. Oh my goodness! And the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations dealing back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. And this is gonna be one of the most killer shows that we've done in a long time. This show will echo into the future. That's how big of a week this was in the tech media.
You said
so
it.
So I'm like, you know, it's just, it's crazy. E3, HP Discover, and WWDC were this week, so just nuts. So if you
not
want
to mention,
follow us
Google
week,
and Facebook kind of decided to play as well. So
yeah, because
we may get to them.
maybe. No offense, you guys, but you're gonna have to take a backseat this week, as it turns out, Apple can still innovate. And you know, okay. Oh my gosh, I can't even get sidetracked because that's like the funniest part of that entire speech. If you want to follow us throughout the week and get all of our tweets and texts and blah, 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 all sorts of stuff, you can follow us. My Twitter is at Matthew D. Furlow.
I'm at James Furlow.
If you want to follow, get all sorts of information, there's just going to be a ton of articles we're going to be referencing. We'll put them all on our website, furlowbros.com. All sorts of interesting and cool stuff there. The videos, links to the show cuts, which James is going to have a blast figuring that out. This actually there'll probably only be three.
That'd be
and
easy. Yeah, I might
yeah.
Be, we'll figure that out. I'll figure
yeah.
that out.
So if you want to go and check that out, we'd appreciate it. Tell your friends, tell your loved ones, tell your bosses about the show and let them know if you want the most insightful stuff on the internet. And seriously, this week is going to be I'm so excited. I loved okay, I'm just going to start. I loved the WWDC keynote address because I'm right. I'm just right. I've been saying it for 6 months.
Because
and
I'm
right. And every time they get up on stage and talk about something, it just becomes that much more apparent that I'm right.
So what do you mean?
I understand their strategy. Okay, so I was trying to figure out the best way to work this, like where to work it in, but I'm just going to jump in because I'm stupid excited about it. Coolest feature that they showed off at all of WWDC was the one that nobody cares about. There's a bunch of cars that are going to open up.
Oh,
they're going to have
yeah.
these like little TV screen. So basically, if you didn't watch the entire keynote, you didn't catch this because nobody wrote about it because nobody cares about it. But basically, they're opening up this new integration for your iPhone, where basically you can kind of control your iPhone from the monitor on your car screen, / your car screen becomes an extended monitor for your iPhone. It's mm-hmm. as cool, and it's all over Bluetooth, and it's just a very sophisticated.
Oh, you're not talking about the RC car. You're talking about like real cars.
No. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. This is all iOS 7. This is a new iOS 7 feature, and they threw it in there as like, this is going to be awesome. Just get excited. It's coming. Actually, the RC cars, though, do kind of play into this, because if you remember back a ways, I was talking about what they really need to do with the iWatch, the Apple Watch. What it really needs to be is it needs to be, number one, a piece of hardware, but number two, a communication protocol, a system by which the iPhone can use external computers, external screens, and external sensors to extend the feature set and the power of the iPhone, and it needs to be able to do it in a way that allows more and more developers access to those tools. And iOS 7 did that in like four different ways. The big ones were this TV, the monitor for your car, that they're basically going to open it up. It's not an extended screen like AirPlay, but it's like a full new feature set. It's like as though you had an iWatch, but it was an entire car that your car hooks up to. And they're making sure that everybody can do that. You've got these like cool remote control cars that everybody was all excited about. And that was a big feature of iOS 7. Oh, as though it was like the first thing they showed off. It was like
true.
They really wanted to emphasize the idea of using Bluetooth to connect via, you know, that sort of a thing. And, you know, there's this also a bigger dynamic of them wanting to use AirPlay as an external monitor for OS X Mavericks, which I've never been to Mavericks Beach, and I really want to go now. I actually wanted to go for a while, but I solidified I want to go. I'm like driving distance. I could have gone today, but I decided to do show prep instead because I'm a good co-host.
Appreciate it.
There's this huge drive, this movement, and one of the big questions that we always ask on this show is, and the identifier is, think of features that they announced that don't really make sense without an additional piece of hardware or an additional sensor or additional whatever.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the big announcement come the launch of the next iPhone. And this to me was a big one. They just were laying it out there. We're trying to extend the brain to other devices and have the iPhone be the central brain, the central connection to the internet, and yet be able to use all of these other devices in a more sophisticated pattern, which also fits the pattern of what they're trying to do with Apple TV, or not Apple TV, with the iWatch. And there's also a big move, and this is the other big move that they made, Logitech and somebody else. They're making a peripheral that is going to be like a universal remote control for your iPhone, like a gamepad, so you can like have. So they're going to make a standard communication for gamepads, because right now, if you want to make a little gamepad, you have to make games specifically designed for that gamepad. Whereas Apple is going to build in their own API that anybody can call on, and that those calls are going to automatically connect to these standardized Bluetooth stuff, starting with the stuff that Logitech is going to make. They're doing it. They're in the middle of doing it. They're making a standard way to communicate with peripherals over Bluetooth. And it's happening. I'm super stoked. I just want to let everybody know that I gave you the paradigm first. From the brain of Matthew Furlow to the
there
audience.
It is. There
you
it is.
You guys are welcome.
Thank you. We appreciate it. So that obviously was your favorite feature. Anything else you liked about it? What'd you think of the colors? The translucencies? The moving back and forth? Johnny Ives touch?
So, number one, I don't think Johnny Ives actually exists. I think he's a CG animation and a voice actor, and they've got like a team of geniuses.
He was in the front row. Come on, man.
But they didn't show him in the front row.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
No, I'm pretty okay. It's a doll. Why does he never get on stage? They had a video.
He
of
hates
the dude.
Public speaking. Come on.
I know. That's their just. Isn't that convenient though? Isn't that really convenient?
Oh,
you never.
Speaking.
ever seen the dude actually talk in front of people.
He spoke saying, at Steve Jobs' funeral thingy. Come on.
And
he was hilarious.
That's true. But let's be honest. Steve Jobs probably died like weeks before they announced it, and they were just doing Tupac at Coachella, 3D projection hologram stuff, and they probably did the same thing with their CGI Johnny Ives. Just saying. Until I shake the dude's hand, I'm not convinced I'm convinced he doesn't exist.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So the pseudonym Johnny Ives, he's a genius.
Really?
I love his stuff. Oh yeah.
P.S.
Yeah.
I wrote a little update on Facebook. I was like, hey, it looks awesome, and a little listener and fan and friend said like, oh, nice, now that you can join all the features that Android's had for a while.
Oh, snap. Yeah, that was one thing that So Scott, no, not Scott Forstall. He's a different part of this article, of this talk. The dude, which guy was it?
Craig.
Oh my gosh. Phil Schiller was the one that delivered the, can't innovate anymore, my butt line in the middle of the thing that everybody got really, really excited about.
The Mac Pro, yeah.
Yeah, on the Mac Pro. And I'm sorry. I had to listen to it three times to verify that he actually misspoke. And he said, can't integrate anymore, my butt. He said integrate. He said integrate instead of innovate.
Did he?
Yeah, he definitely did. Which is awesome, because everybody knew what he meant to say. Even I heard it. Well, the first time I heard it, I was like, that's... Right? Is that what he said? But yeah, there was a couple of foot and mouth syndromes going on at it.
I was listening to the streaming of it while riding the shuttle up to the airport. So I was like, had my hands over my ears so I could hear everything properly. So
he definitely said that.
And I may or may not have got over my data cap this month already.
Yeah, me too. Speaking of, we're going to need to deal with that.
I don't think you understand. I went over twice so far.
Oh.
It's $10 a gig. Whatever.
Yeah,
I've been traveling for 2 weeks. I'll charge HP for it or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So, yeah, I don't have a good excuse. I'm just... I've got... Whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm going to go over too. That's all I'm trying to say.
If you give me an extra $10, I don't care.
It's okay, I know.
That's how that works.
I'm just annoyed. I'm annoyed because this is the truth. Okay, this is funny, I'll tell you. So when I was in Reno, I like to go to bed watching like artisan type videos of like people doing like either working clay or like doing haircuts or painting or like all sorts of stuff.
This is a side of you I did not know about.
Yeah, this is part of my...
Were they, like, explaining what they're doing?
No, just videos of people doing it.
Just... Okay.
I don't know, I find it relaxing, watching people do work.
These are normal people, there's nothing weird about these videos that we should know about?
No, they're just really skilled. It's kind of weird, I'll be honest, it's kind of weird. But
that's
I love watching them, I'll watch hours of them.
This is on, like, Netflix, or what do you...
No, it's YouTube.
YouTube?
I see YouTube these videos.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's this like one dude who's, and I've got a couple of channels that I don't even subscribe to them because I don't want people to know. I've just memorized what the YouTube channel name is, so I just search for it every time.
Wow,
it's weird.
Guilty pleasure.
I know. Yeah, so this is, you're learning about a side of me. Anyways, I decided to watch one of those videos on while I was in Reno, but I didn't connect to Wi-Fi.
Ah.
So it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I was kind of drunk. I watched like 30 seconds of an hour-long video on YouTube before I fell asleep, and it just played the whole thing. So that's why I'm annoyed. It's because
Speaking of annoying,
stupid.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
So when I was in Las Vegas for HP, I stayed at the Mirage, and then when I was there for myself, I moved hotels to to the Super 8. It was
nice.
It was cheaper. By like $100 a night cheaper.
I'm willing to bet that that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's what I thought was interesting. At the Mirage, my internet speed 0.3 megabytes down. It was miserable. Miserable.
Right. Right.
Your life can't function on that speed anymore.
No.
With the machines that we have and the data we're pulling. Moved to the Super 8, which, by the way, also had free Wi-Fi to connect and all that fun jazz. With the Mirage, you actually had to like, register your name and room in order to use it, but with Super 8, you just connect and it just worked.
Yeah.
23 megs.
What the heck? Oh my gosh, dude. You could have charged me an extra $100 tonight. Well, not really, but I mean,
I was just like, I don't.
What the heck? That's absurd.
I couldn't believe it. Now, part of it is there's obviously more people at the Mirage, and so, you know,
still,
it clogs up, but just
that's
like.
Ridiculous.
That's unbelievable. It was funny. We were getting ready to go to the airport, and I was like, can we just stay here like an extra hour? Because
yeah,
I'm really enjoying this right now, and I know the airport's not going to have this. But
yeah, that's funny. That's awesome.
Yeah, weird little side note. Super 8, if you care about internet connectivity,
yeah,
which you shouldn't.
Well,
go out and have fun. Come on.
But how am I going to go to sleep in my vision?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't. Anyways, so overall reaction what's it called?
iOS 7?
iOS 7. So my first thought is, thank goodness, especially with like the unified not notification center, because I'm actually afraid that they didn't make huge improvements to notification center.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, I think they just changed how it looks, which is super annoying.
You like the control center or control panel or whatever?
The control panel, it's like, thank you for finally. That was the one that it's like, you should have done that like 2 years ago. And a lot of the flat design stuff. I mean, Dotney Ives is just great at making things look really nice. And they made such a big deal about translucent backgrounds, which is
yeah.
like, this is what's so funny about that is it's like on the iPad, you can do the split keyboard. So you can like move it around. So you can move the keyboard around. Mm-hmm. If you do that, it goes transparent. So you can see what's behind it. So it's like, they've already got it in iOS 7. I don't know.
The one complaint I really heard was, you know, they didn't work on, They still haven't like figured out how to do glanceable information yet, like making live icons essentially,
right.
Mini widgets. Which I'm kind of like, yeah, just give them time. Now they'll focus on adding other stuff. Now that they've changed that, I think. I don't know, but yeah, a major overhaul. In some ways a surprise. I don't think anyone thought it would be that drastically different.
Well, but I guess my question is, I don't think it's that drastically different. Maybe it's just because I haven't used it yet. But it, from a stylistic perspective, yeah, I guess. But it felt mostly like a paint job.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I meant, though. I don't think people thought it would be that different of a paint job.
Okay. They are getting beat up pretty hard because of the overall color scheme.
Whatever.
But number one,
they're not appealing
good.
To you,
number,
me, man.
Although,
they're selling it
although,
to,
dude,
to my wife.
You have got to, yeah. Well, and number two, I mean, like, number one, I don't know, it's not even bad, especially I saw a mock-up of somebody, of a developer who, like, they changed their background and a couple of the other things on it that made it look way more, you know, makes the color scheme more palatable for men.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and I go, like, it's such a non-starter issue, which I think anybody who spent 30 seconds thinking about it. That being said, early developer reviews have been that it's amazing. It really is great. I think part of it is that it's still built on the fundamentally sound use of iOS. But there are things that, glanceable information, yeah, that's a big one, but I don't know. I didn't really use widgets on my Android that much, which maybe, I mean, I realize that puts me as kind of like an outsider, but mm-hmm. I'm much more of a, I don't mind going into the full app, and the live tiles, like, always just was annoying. Sufficiently annoying amounts of information that it was enough to wet my whistle, but not enough to give me all the information I want. So I don't know how horrible of a situation they're in. I realize people would really like that, but whatever.
That's fair. I do like that they stole the WebOS cards analogy with multitasking.
Yeah.
We're never bringing full multitasking. I didn't fully understand how.
Well, so I think what it is a lot of other services will work in the background. I think is what they're trying to say.
Well, will it keep playing a movie? If I switch to a different app, will the movie keep playing? That's honestly, if they allow that to happen, I will be happy. Because there's times when I'm like, I'm watching a video or something, and, oh, I want to check this real quick because this part of the video is boring or something.
Right.
You know, let me do that without losing place.
Well, and nice. some apps will let you do that. Like, I know the podcasting app that I used when I watched the keynote, for, like, no offense, Tim Cook, I like you, but you're super boring. Because they don't let you announce any of the cool stuff. They don't let you. He makes the decision. But because you don't announce any of the cool stuff, I, like, flip over to Sudoku. And all I do is when you bump out of the app, it pauses it. But if you go into, like, the universal sound control, you know, double tap on the home screen, you plus play, it'll go. Which is annoying that you have to find a workaround, and it'll play the audio in the background. But it's technically there, so I wouldn't be surprised if it allows that. The only thing is that I think they think of it as a feature that it automatically pauses when you leave that screen.
Yeah.
I think... which is why I don't think it'll go away. I think it's they do it on purpose.
Fair enough.
But there's other, I don't know. It's interesting. One of the things I really like, and oh my gosh, this was awesome, was when they were like, when they went to AirPlay, because I have been, if you've listened to me, this is a show at all, you know that I get, like, I am not impressed by the bump to share feature at all, because I'm like,
oh, you mean AirDrop.
Yeah,
whatever. Dude, that was an awesome dig.
Oh my gosh, that was so great. That was, dude.
Remember having to go around all your friends bumping phones.
Yeah, I know. That was just perfect. I was like, as soon as they started talking, because I've been saying forever, like, yeah, because texting is so hard. And then, yeah, for him to just, like, to just call them out as a, yeah, because, and it's that is a great feature, because I really like the idea of you just select your friends that are around you, especially sharing photos and stuff. I find that that happens to me a lot, where you'll be at a party or whatever, and somebody, you'll be in the picture, they'll take a picture, and you're like, I was a great picture, I want to post it to whatever, text it to me, or FaceTime it, or to me. And whereas something that's just a very quick AirDrop, and you can, you know, you got seven people in the picture, and you can AirDrop it to everybody in the picture, that's very nice. Cool. The only downside to AirDrop is that obviously it's iOS 5, or it's iPhone 5 and better dependent, which is kind of lame.
Well, Samsung's is the same way. Gotta have.
I know, and Samsung. It's super lame.
Oh,
I'm not saying that.
I still think texting is the way to go. I do like sharing photos and now video. The their photo stream is, they fixed a bunch of those annoyances where now you can do video, and now other people can add to it. It's not just a one way, which was always kind of annoying. I really like that they fixed that. I like that there were a bunch of little annoying things that they fixed, like now there's no limit to the number of apps in a folder, no more limit to the number of tabs in your browser.
Right. Oh, geez.
There's these constraints that you can tell that they did it for a resource reason.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, don't worry about it. We feel confident that we can handle all this now.
Right, and in class, which tells you, which should indicate how powerful they think the next piece of hardware is going to be.
Yeah. I want to see the Maps app, see if they fix some of the annoyances with that. Like, you know, can I now mute it in-app? That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one, I think. And a lot of, man, honestly, I want to buy a Mac so bad now. Because the Mavericks integration with iOS, it's pretty killer, man. It's pretty killer. Just the sort of ease of use that everything goes back and forth is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of jealous, I'll be
the
honest.
The tags is kind of cool. I don't know if I'm going to use the tabs or not.
Well, I don't even know if I'd use that so much, but it's like one of the things that I use all the time is kind of routing out my map, what I'm going to do on the fly, or on my – I do all of my routing on a big computer, figure out what I'm going to do, and then I move it to my phone. And so being able to just that I thought was awesome, and a feature that I personally would use a lot for maps, and I like Apple Maps.
What are you waiting for, dude? The MacBook Air is $999. It's recently updated. You get Mavericks. It'll be great. It's got all, like, smart stuff in it for the battery life to last forever.
Would you please stop tempting me? Because I almost did that today. And which is a stupid, stupid idea right now. And I still almost did it. Because Hey, by the way, big announcement. This is going to be the last week that I do the show in this little closet.
Hey!
And,
congratulations.
And because I have no no furniture, and yet I make furniture. I'm like really hard to please with furniture, so I'm going to go all Steve Jobs for the first couple of weeks there and just not have any furniture.
Nice.
I don't really know how I'm going to deal with that, but I'm not bringing a bed or a chair.
You're not bringing
a
bed.
Desk. Yeah, I'm just going to sleep on the floor. Like, I don't know.
On a mattress, at least? Or
no, I think I'm just going to sleep on the floor.
So you've already got the lease and all that stuff?
Yeah. Well, yes.
What does that mean?
I'm moving into, so this is like total behind the scenes, everybody. I'm moving in with Sarah. And,
It's cousin, so, don't worry, folks.
Cousin, yeah. Yeah. And so,
that's
no,
cool.
There's no lease, but it's you know, yeah, and no, I'm super stoked. It's a good location,
best friends
good price.
With Hiro, right?
He's not going to be living there, which is why she needs a new roommate.
More insider information.
Yeah, so, and that was probably not something I should have shared on the podcast. Hey,
Sarah.
Family! Don't tell anybody that I broadcasted that to the world.
I'll edit that out, maybe.
Yeah, we'll take that out of post. We don't have post.
No.
So anyways,
especially since this is broadcast live on YouTube.
Yeah, seriously, oh my gosh.
Moving on. You're moving out. Congratulations.
So I am
awesome.
Not buying a Mac because that would be a terrible financial decision at this point.
Fair enough.
As I am going to have other things I need to buy, like Apple TVs, let's be honest.
So what'd you think of I Work for the Cloud? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think
that?
It's awesome. What? I know this doesn't get announced until later.
Word? What's they call it? Is it Word? No, it's
Pages.
Not Word. It's Pages are awesome.
Yeah.
I think Numbers is still stupid. I wish they would just make that better. And if it was, I'd be all over it.
See, now, how much did they explain how much it was going to cost?
Nah, I don't know. Who knows?
Okay, yeah. See, the thing is like, now there's, like, this complete competitive suites, right? You got iWork versus Microsoft Office, and they basically run on every platform everywhere,
yeah.
Right, theoretically. I mean, that was one of the
plus
things.
Plus a web version.
Was a Mac running. Right. Right. Well, and that was, I mean, that's the justification that it runs on Windows 8 is that you can run it on the browser in Windows 8. That's what they showed during the keynote. And I don't know. It's tough because I loved it. My favorite part of their demonstration was when they opened up the Pages document and it was like beautiful and like had pictures everywhere and was like this wonderfully formatted. And then they were like, and it'll open up a Word document too. And the Word document was just a wall of text with like one picture that was just broken out. It looked super ugly. Oh my gosh, it was great. So like, you guys are such jerks. It's awesome.
They're bad.
But I would say, it's the subtleties that are the best digs.
They have gotten a lot
cool.
more. Just in general, they were spiteful in a word. They were willing to jab at folks, which usually they'll make one or two jabs, and you know,
yeah.
And it's in that beginning draft part where they're comparing their
right.
progress to everyone else. They're like, "We're so much better." Yeah. But they kind of sprinkled it all throughout. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
They even were making fun of Scott Forstall.
I wanted to get to this because this was awesome, and retitled the article, "The King is Dead, Long Live the King." So Craig Federighi is definitely Scott Forstall's like full-on replacement, especially as the spokesperson for Apple.
That shiny blue shirt with both buttons on the top done. Man, what a guy.
I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a good job, but he ravaged Scott Forstall, man.
Oh my gosh!
Forstall was his whipping boy. That was awesome, and we ran out of green felt for Game Center. Like, oh, that's rough. That's rough.
No virtual cows were hurt in the making of this calendar.
Yeah, jeez, man, he was brutal, dude. He was, and I didn't realize he made the sea lion joke. That was really funny, but the problem was I had heard it like six times, and I thought other people were being creative, like or trying to be creative, or it was like it was in blogs and stuff. And I thought it was just a really dumb joke, and then I realized the context, and in that context, It was pretty funny.
So I had seen some leaked screenshots of people had done something very similar to that, where they're like, "It's a sea lion," because, you know, because it had the water, and that was what everyone immediately were like, "It's got to be a sea lion." And, right. You know, so when he did it, you're like, "Yes."
That's awesome. He was not afraid to shy away from the comedy, which was pretty.
You gotta have that, man. It's like an hour and a half of talk. Just gotta be.
Well,
gotta
but that's uncharacteristic. I say, yeah. Well, that's uncharacteristic of Apple in general.
Yes.
And I thought he did a really good job. And I mean, it's so obvious that in so many ways, Johnny Ives was the brain behind it all, mm-hmm. and he was just up there presenting what Johnny Ives had come up with.
Wow.
So it didn't have that same annoyance that Scott Forstall presenting our beautifully designed leather calendar, you know, and which I just don't. It's so funny because I don't care about those sorts of things. This goes all back to my I don't care about graphics that much.
Yeah, what was the one too where he was like, was it Tabs? Where he's like, "Hey, we got Tabs," and people cheers like, "Really? Cool."
Yeah,
to each his own.
Yeah, that's, yeah, exactly.
I think it was like people were pumped.
yeah, those are pretty awesome moments. He's like, "Cool, I'm glad you like it that much."
We were filling time. Yeah. Awesome.
Right, yeah. We were just throwing out every feature.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it was good overall. You know, and it's, oh my goodness. Okay, I meant to mention this before when we were making fun of the number of colors, but there's a Tumblr post that you need to check out.
Yes.
And everybody who's listening to check out. This is great.
Yes.
It's called Johnny Ives Redesigns Things.
Yes.
And it is fantastic. It is fantastic. And it's funny. Some of them are like really meant to be digs. And I thought, that looks awesome. I actually really want that. It's like the BMW and the Mini. I think these look good. Some of them, though, pretty good digs. The Johnny Ives redesigns Plants for Zombies, and the zombie goes from like the cartoon to just like simple shapes with gradients. It just looks awful. Oh man! But like the Google Glasses interface, I was like, it kind of looks kind of cool.
I don't know. I would do it.
It's like, what are we complaining? NBC News? I was like, how has NBC News not done this yet? It looks great, actually.
I looked at it and went, looks the same, but...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Adidas one looks awesome. I don't know. They try to go for these underhanded... But
that's the thing. I mean, and that's what Johnny Ives does, is he creates a distinctive design that everybody recognizes, where you can create
right.
something like that, which means people will instantly look at your phone and know if you have iOS 7 or not, because you will know it within a nanosecond what it is, because it is so distinctive. And that's honestly, that's his magic. Some people will hate it, some people will love it, and it, you know, there'll be very few who are like, whatever. And it's just, that's his gift, is to not make
right.
something that just blends in with the crowd. It makes you turn and go, oh, what's that? And,
right.
you know, and that's what's so amazing
right.
about it.
Yeah, and it's why they protect it so.
And I don't have that skill, which
so
is why I'm in awe.
Sometimes.
Yeah, no, true.
Yeah,
true.
I know. And my thing is, I like it. I mean, it's not, you know. I don't know. It's as long as it's funny to me. Like, the hardware is always what the most impressive part is, and I every once in a while I just like look at the iPhone 5. I'm like, that is a good piece of hardware. Oh, goodness, not just because I own it, but I, yeah, and I don't know. I'm. It'll be interesting to see. I think once it actually gets out in the wild, people will love it. It's gonna be good. The other one, the other big one that they kind of dropped in there was Pandora.
Oh yeah.
And by Pandora I mean iTunes Radio.
I have Pandora, why do I care about this?
Well, so this is the thing. I have Pandora with ads, which drives me nuts.
If they're gonna have ads in that too? Oh no, because you signed up for iTunes Match, huh?
I was going to say, I already pay the $25 a year to have ad-free iTunes Radio. I'm looking forward to trying it out. I mean, and honestly, like, you know, my The one thing is that I've got that one Pandora station that I've been working on for, I think I'm up to 6 years now. Now I'm in the fifth year on this station. So it is highly, highly, highly curtailed. Mm. But, you know, it's like the only station I use on it, so I'm willing to open up to other stations. I don't know. And I'm going to try it out because I think it'll be cool and pretty much already get the ad-free version. So
that's, yeah, that's nice. I obviously will try it, of course. But I like Pandora. I like their selections and the way that works. And like you, I do it differently than you. I don't curate a single station. I add stations and shuffle between all of them. And so I have different silos that then mix together and make a complete station for me. I'm not in the mood for Latin music today. I just turn that off and take it out. Or a lot of times, like Christmas music, I can check those off, you know, eight months out of the year. Because, you know, I listen to Christmas music four months. That's how I do. But anyways, but you know, because of that, I'm like, I don't want to recreate it all, which is their hope. I don't think Pandora was like, what are we gonna do? But
I'm not looking forward to losing Siri though. But I'll be honest, it'll be weird to be swearing at a different phantom voice. That's my primary relationship. Is
that was kind of gutsy? Wrong. I felt and like.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, it's one of those things. I understand that they wanted to make it like way more fluid, and they really tightened up the language use on it, which is cool, and I'm impressive. And adding the male voice made sense because a lot of people liked the British one because it was male as opposed to the female.
It's true,
but they changed Siri's voice. I mean, and the thing is that by giving the service the name Siri and having it be a single person's voice, it was a lot like what's his name? Tony Stark and
Jarvis.
Jarvis, where it's, you know, it's a person. I think of Siri as a person.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. It's funny. And that's actually why, like, I get mad, because it's like when something like when she doesn't get it or whatever, and I'm like, you know, we try to keep our language super clean on this show for the kids. But when I'm just like in my car and mm-hmm. Siri gets something wrong, I'm always like, "What the bleep, you bleep!" You know.
I didn't know you were in an abusive relationship. Hmm.
You see, but it's one of those things where it's not really fun if it's a different person all of a sudden, or if they like. Fun is that Siri is a person to me. It's an actual being that lives in my phone. Yeah, you're right. I'll get over it, but I will not. Well, I won't. What am I gonna say? I'm excited for the new features and stuff like that. It gives you more control over your settings through Siri, because I've said that I use Siri almost exclusively to set and turn off my alarms and everything. I don't do it for I very rarely go into my alarms unless I'm doing major management stuff, and it'll be nice to be able to like turn up and down the lighting, because it's like that's one of the things that drives me nuts is like when I turn my iPhone on, like my iPhone rings at like 2:00 in the morning, whatever. I wake up and I'm like, I turn my iPhone on, it's just super bright and like knocks me out of my bed, and it'll be really nice to be able to like close my eyes and just go, Siri, turn the lights down on my iPhone. And have it like dim the iPhone for me, which will be great, as opposed to having to go in there and fight with it, or vice versa. When I have the lights turned down because I woke up super early, and then I walk out in the sun, and now I can't see the screen anymore because it's so dim, I can just tell Siri to do it. Little stuff like that. I like the fact that they're including more and more of those features.
Okay.
And I don't know. I like it. I like it.
I'm guessing you'll probably download it day one.
Yeah, mostly because of Apple Radio. I'm super stoked for that.
Cool.
But, yeah.
I hope that it doesn't slow down my phone too much.
Yeah, because you're on the 4S, right?
4S. Starting to get old. Starting to get old.
Yeah. Well, my policy is 2 OSs, and then you can't do it anymore.
I'm already on one upgrade,
I think.
This is
your second OS. Yeah,
which I didn't do.
I'm good.
You're good. You're fine. Yeah, no, I'll do it. My wife will. She'll resist until I can prove to her that it's not slower. And I'm going to upgrade Mavericks, totally doing that, and she'll resist until I can prove to her that it's not slower. She may not have a choice.
Yeah.
I may just do it. but, okay, cool. Cool. So that was Monday.
That was Monday.
Anything else happened Monday that we should know about?
I don't know. Do you want... Okay, so
yeah, so, so E3 happened also this week.
Yeah.
In case you missed it. I caught a little bit of the news, a little bit, so you can flesh in a little bit more of what happened. But one of the things I know... Go ahead.
Yeah. So, weirdly enough, I actually paid most attention to E3 just because it tended to pop up the most in my all of my news feeds and stuff. But I also am, like, most disconnected with it because I don't play enough video games to really get into it. Although, I am once again intrigued by Infamous. I'm kind of... Oh, that game looks fun, but... The games, I don't know. I just don't play enough video games.
Fair enough, fair enough. So, there were a bunch of announcements made. Xbox, Sony, Nintendo didn't really do anything, as far as I know. But
what? Hardware. Oh my gosh, you missed the giant game lineup then.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, dude, okay, so...
Alright, so what's Nintendo got going on?
I'm gonna excite you. Okay, so first off, Super Smash Bros. 4 is coming out. Okay,
nice.
So did you hear about that?
No.
And what's awesome is they're doing Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and the 3DS. So they have they're it's the same game but with two different platforms, same cast of characters. So it doesn't matter which platform you're on, you can play it. But here's the thing: new characters that are included. One of them is the villagers from what's that game called?
I don't know.
Harvest Moon, I believe it is. But it's this ridiculous character where it's just like they're just throwing in... It's awesome how sometimes they just throw out the craziest characters. So they threw in a villager. when one of your RPGs, just one of the random villagers that he's going to be in it, which is awesome. Mega Man.
Nice. Oh, Mega Man.
Yeah. And what's really cool is it's like the old school Nintendo Mega Man. Like he looks all like that. He's not 16-bit-y, but he moves like the 16-bit Mega Man.
Whoa,
like all
that's
over
cool.
the place. It's really
Power
cool.
up blast.
It's really unique.
That's cool.
Oh yeah. Oh, of course. And he can, you know, like he can absorb other like characters, other characters, but he can do like the classic Mega Man is he's got all the different shots that
take
he can
their
do.
Powers or borrow them or similar to Kirby type of thing.
Well, it's not like Kirby. He's got his own suite of attacks from other robots. And they haven't clarified how you call those up, but you can, he'll be able to do many different attacks, which is awesome. And as a huge Mega Man fan, I'm super stoked. And then one of the other ones that they threw in there is like, everybody's been requesting just a ton of different characters, right? I mean, that's what people do for fun
that's the game.
Request theirs. Yeah. Specific character that they want to play with, and Nintendo sometimes likes to throw in a character or two who's only there because nobody in their right mind would request them. So one of the characters is the female trainer for Wii Fit.
What? That's so
yeah,
dumb.
I know.
Yeah, you're just like, that's so stupid.
What are you guys doing?
Because that's what everybody wants.
I know, and I was reading forums, and people were like, well, she is really physically fit. I mean, it kind of makes sense, right?
No, it doesn't.
If you're going to get somebody who can fight, why not this? I know. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's awesome.
Just give me a me instead. Unbelievable. Wow.
I know. It's, oh, geez. But it's just such a classic Nintendo move. It's awesome. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. And what's going to be awesome about it is it's going to be one of those characters where everyone's like, this is such a stupid character. And somebody's going to go, I'll bet she's pretty good. And somebody's going to get great with her. And in like 2 years, you're going to realize that the best players in the world, like she's one of the top two player characters for the best players in the world. Because that's what they did with Ness. Everybody was like, Ness is not that good. What is with Ness? And how he's like the number one played character for Melee, you know, and it's just like, or for Brawl, I mean. And you're like, okay, that's awesome. So yeah, everybody was super stoked about that, but they also announced new Zeldas and new Marios and went through all their franchise, new Mario Kart. They relaunched all their franchise stuff, and they were like, you know, and turns out you can use used games on their system, which is pretty exciting, evidently. Nice. It's something that needs to be mentioned on the side. Because X-Bone is they're not doing it right. Do you want to talk about
Xbox clarified some of their stuff, where they, you know, their whole used game thing is they're, we'll see if they stick with it. They've been known to stick with things where you're like, wow, that's incredible. Where I don't even remember the full restrictions, to be honest, but it's like if someone buys a used game, they might have to pay another fee in order to actually access it, because it requires always on internet, and you gotta authenticate the game. And
yeah, the game is registered to your system, so if somebody else uses it, it was like a, you can only move it to one of their systems, so you can't lend games out, which is really frustrating. And there's like a fee that'll go with it, so that you have to pay a fee on top of the used game. So it's just, there'll be like used game resellers, they think, they were talking about, and the idea that this is X-Bone, not PS4, but so there'll be like that you wouldn't get charged that fee in order to, you know, convince you to go to, you know, let's say GameFly, and all of a sudden GameStop, all of a sudden GameStop has to negotiate with Microsoft to be one of those, you know, vendors, and they're going to have to pay a fee and blah, 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 blah. And so it's just it's a scheme to kind of kill the used game market. And I think they thought it was going to be possible because they were looking at, you know, what's going on with Steam, where there is no used game market with Steam. But what they failed to understand was that Steam's ridiculous in that their games are stupid cheap. And one of the big reasons why people have Xboxes and PlayStations is for that mobility of gaming, and that, and these dedicated systems, that it's different than the PC superior race of video game players. You know, it's one of the, you know, half the point is that 15-year-olds can, like, each one buy, you know, they got four friends that each buy one game and they swap them around. And I don't know. And so the PS4 there, Sony, had that awesome, like, commercial where they're like, how to play used game, or like, how to trade used games to PS4. And it just showed a video of the one dude handing the game to the other dude, and the guy going, thanks. And it was the end of the video. It was great.
That's hilarious.
You know, and it's just like, yeah.
That's so awesome. Take that. We hate you. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was their first one that they did. They were like, hey, you know, use games free, just like they used to always be. We're not trying to,
because you own your own content.
And then, and I thought this was actually really interesting. Before we move on to the other huge thing that Sony did, which is why everyone thinks they won E3. But before we get to that, they, some authors, writers, reached out to other game developers to kind of ask them about, you know, their thoughts on the used game industry. And two in particular, who I'm going to destroy their names, it's Blazinski. And Miyamoto, we know who he is. I don't know who the other guy is, but he was just like, he was like, you cannot have game and marketing budgets as high as they are while also having used and rental games exist. He's like, just the numbers don't work. He's like, get over it. And he's like, the visual fidelity and feature sets that we expect from games, they come with, you know, sky-high costs. And, you know, they're made by thousands of developers. And so he's like, it's not a sustainable industry anymore. So I'm guessing he's a Microsoft dude. So we've got to, you know, we've got to address it, and we've got to kill this used game market. Otherwise, it's not sustainable. And then CVG did an interview with Miyamoto, And his was like, I like it. He goes, we're more worried about piracy, and we think used games are a whole other story. In fact, from our perspective, you want to create a game that people will want to keep and keep playing for a long time. That's the approach that we always take, and that's the best way to avoid used games.
Oh man. I love it. I love it. Yeah, we want the games that you're excited to keep.
How about we just make good games that people want to continue to play and own, and we won't worry about the used game market, which I'm like, fair enough. They also don't have I think they do a better job of controlling their budget spend. And
So Blazinski is he's the game developer for franchises like Unreal and Gears of War. So he's a game developer, and he's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And
which clearly tells me where I'm at, in my understanding.
Yeah.
You know this guy, whatever. And, he knows who he is.
He's got a name I can't really pronounce.
Turns out he's a big deal.
Yeah, so, and the whole point of that, I guess, is, it's funny, I mean, there's a valid point to it, and it's the reason, what's interesting, though, and I think where he gets it wrong, is that his opinion is that people demand these ridiculous games. Well, obviously, that's not what they're demanding. What they're demanding is what they're willing to pay for. And Steam, you know, Valve is proving with Steam this idea that, you know, we are willing to go without being able to share games. We're willing to put up with no piracy if the cost of the game is low enough, because the average game amount that people pay on games in Steam is ridiculously low, because it's you know, why would you wait till a sale, and it's like, you know, I think I spent like $100 on Steam, like, for all of my games, and I have like 1,000 hours worth of games, you know, and you sit there and you go, and really high quality games too, not like bad cheap ones. Like, you know, I spent like $20 on that one Skyrim, which was like was like a game of the year a couple years back. You know, you sit there and you go, the reality of it is the demand that people have is what they're willing to pay for it.
Right.
What you want to be able to do is to produce these stunning graphic games with incredibly high-powered technologies. And, yeah, you can't do what you want to do, because that's not what people are willing to pay for. So I can understand why he's upset by that. But you sit there and you go, like, you just have to understand that you need a smaller budget. You can't spend as much on games, and you know, and or get better. If your argument is, because people will spend $60 on the best game, that's what they will do. So if your argument is that you can't do as good a job as Bungie on making the best game with the best graphics for the same price that they're able to make money on, well, then that's a whole different problem. that's not you know, people pay the money and then, you know, which, and I like Miyamoto's, at least he, you know, differentiated the idea, the difference between piracy and used games, where used games, because it gives, I don't know, I totally buy into this, the problem of the idea of, you know, intellectual property as a service. It's like, classically, it's the thing that worries me most about iTunes Match, is that it's turned IP that I own. You know, I own a license to have these songs and use them as many as I want, as using them as often as I want for non-commercial purposes by buying them through iTunes. And by using iTunes Match, it's essentially become a subscription thing. If they shut it down, I'd have to re-download them all. That's the only nice part, is that I can. But it's like, if they just shut it, if they flip the switch one day or cancel my account, I'm out of luck. And a lot of people have been, you know, making that comment. It's like, you know, there's a real concern of like, what if they decide that they don't like what you're doing with your system? Can they shut your system down? Can they pull supportive games? Like, where is the line? And Microsoft hasn't done a very good job of
defining that. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if anything, they make you like, no, we might pull it.
Right. Well, and I think that's the reality of it, is they might pull it. Somebody wrote a really interesting article, actually, right after the original announcement, but it seems more appropriate now. But the idea of comparing the Xbox One, a.k.a. the Xbone, to Windows 8, and the idea that Windows 8 wasn't a terrible idea in principle of we want to make a kind of a bridge operating system that works as well on mobile as it does on a desktop,
right?
Kind of be all things all people, and
no compromises.
And the reality of it was right, and the reality of it was that Windows 7, in a large way, especially if you downloaded a specific set of features, would work on tablets. I mean, it just didn't work as well. You could get touch interface stuff, and you could get full screen apps. I mean, you could do with Windows 7 a lot of it. So their argument was, you know, it's really not that big of a departure. It's not that big of a deal. We're just making it the center stage, and it still works pretty well, and everybody hates it. And the thing is, and the big question that everybody's having is, you know, is the X-Bone really like this new kind of a crazy adventure into crazy town? I don't know. I think that they're really setting themselves up for trouble. And what's funny is, you know, we have often made the observation about the video game industry that there's really only space for two. And over the course of the industry, you'll see that, like, as you look at the graphs and you look at the numbers, you'll only see two really selling well at the same time. There's always one in decline as the other two are skyrocketing. Sure. And early on in this last generation with the 360 came out like way before the other two, like a year before the other two. So it started taking off really early. And so the big horse race was who's going to be able to take, you know, step into the number two spot was the Wii versus the PS3. And the PS3, Sony just had a spectacular fumble out the gate with a couple of really buggy games and just a couple of so super overpriced. The Wii really impressed everybody, so the Wii skyrocketed. And you saw, you know, like way past the growth rate of Xbox.
Yeah.
It started to taper off as, you know, as they basically saturated the market. They sold them to as many people as they were going to sell them to, which was their entirety of their problem. They ran out of people to sell Wii's to, whereas the Xbox just had a much longer growth cycle.
Yep.
And so the Xbox kept getting better and better and better, and eventually, as kind of everybody satiated their need for Wii's, all of a sudden the PlayStation, Sony had really rebuilt the foundation, and they kind of started to take off. And the thing is here, and that's when you started to see the Wii sales really crash, that the PlayStation sales started to come up, and I think what you're going to see here is, I think you're going to see a repeat of that, except instead of PlayStation and being the one that fumbles out the door, I think it's going to be Xbox.
I think,
obviously it's going to survive and they're going to sell devices, but I think you're going to really see, as absurd as it sounds at this point, I think you're going to see Wii U sales go up. You're going to see PlayStation sales go up. You're going to see Xbox just going to stumble out the gate, which is really exciting.
Not
what I would have bet.
I agree with you that Sony's going to sell a ton of units, and they look really appealing, and they made a lot of really smart choices here. I don't see Nintendo growing huge.
You don't? Okay. You see, the thing is that I'm gonna go up to bat for Nintendo. I don't think the Wii U will do as well as the Wii did by any means.
Totally.
But
totally agree.
The major mantra that's just been everybody's been thumping on the game forums and different websites and Reddit and stuff has been, look, y'all overlooked Wii U too fast. It's a really cool system. It's a really unique system. It's got some good games, and all the big franchise games are coming out, and honestly, like, I don't play my Wii anymore, and I'm like, oh, dude, I gotta get my Wii U so I can play some Super Smash Bros. And, like, you know, this is so stupid. Hopefully I will resist that even more than I resist buying a Mac. But that's, like, that's where it's at right now. It's just a, you know, I really do have this feeling, you know, and I'll go with it. It's just a feeling. But I think you're going to see like the 3DS, which really had a super slow start to the point where everybody is freaking out about it, and now it's selling great. And it just took a long time for it to kind of get its feet.
I think the game's going behind it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're going to see the same thing happen with Wii U.
Okay.
And the overall message is it's not going to be as meteoric as the Wii was, but I think the overall message that's really started to to disseminate itself into the gaming community is it's a pretty decent system and it's worth your time, and they've got some great games coming out that will move the system. So
interesting. So it's funny, I'm not going to buy one right now, but I do think, like, okay, if I were to get one, let's just say I decided to buy a television and you know, get a gaming thing, besides the fact that I'd resurrect my Wii and play that for a bunch before I get tired of that, my thought was, like, I think I'd still get an Xbox, and the reason, and this is a bad reason, so I might go with the PlayStation, is two things. Number one, the Kinect, I think, would be interesting for, not necessarily me, but for my wife.
The NSA spying tool?
Yeah, that one.
That's always on?
That one.
Okay,
that one.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the one. I think my wife would like that, because that's what she liked about the Wii, was the whole wireless controllers and stuff. And then I've, and this is what Microsoft is kind of banking on, I already have a bunch of friends on Xbox Live, and so I can instantly connect with them, and Sony doesn't quite have that level of, you know, socialness. Though I do have a bunch of friends who do have PlayStation, so I guess they, you know, they would have it. But I don't know. If I ever got there, I'd probably have to play them both and see what they're like. But there's something about something about Microsoft that feels like a platform. I like that. I like that it's got the Blu-ray part now. Their price is unbelievable. Which is the other thing that Sony did, which was brilliant. They undercut Microsoft by $100, which is exactly what happened to them on the flip side. They learned their lesson. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like you said, Microsoft came out with the Xbox 360 on an off cycle. And so they had a ton of advantages there. And I don't know what happened. I think they got cocky, or they just weren't paying attention. But it's like they came out on cycle, and they came out. they showed all their cards first. Nintendo showed their cards first, but you know they're playing their own game. Let's be honest.
Right. They're in their own little universe.
Microsoft decided to show their cards first to Sony, and I didn't think they thought that Sony would be as close as they were, and Sony just, you know, they tweaked the presentation and the way that they messaged it and went, yeah, about that.
Yeah, and it was so funny because it was like they clearly, Microsoft wanted to get the bad news out of the way, and
Or they were hoping that Sony would climb on board, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Signal them without colluding.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's almost as though Microsoft was trying to, like, send a message. Except it was so late in the... It was like... That's the sort of thing that you'd have to...
They should have just planted the seed. Yeah, we're thinking about the used game market and maybe... But, in my opinion, they get away from the physical discs, make it 100% download, problem solved.
Right, and that's, everybody loathed Apple for doing that with the original Air, and now it's, like, not even a thing. It's couldn't be less of
They could still have the discs, especially the Blu-ray player. That's got value. But they should have required of developers, not only will you make a CD copy or a disc copy, you will make a download, and it will be 10% cheaper than the
right.
disc, or
something,
you know, some
like
number
that.
Where it's like, duh, we're all going to download it.
Yeah.
But the understanding being, you can't give it away. And you know what? If someone's willing to buy the disc, price it in such a way where it covers your manufacturing costs, and it covers whatever that extra percentage was you were going to charge for a share.
Yeah. That's right. And then
message it that way. And now people look at the download and go, oh, sweet, discount, digital copy, love it. And if you don't want that, fine, buy the physical one and blame it on manufacturing costs. Oh, we're not making as many, so it costs more to make them, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? They could have messaged it in such a way where it wouldn't have raised any red flags and it would have actually been seen as a feature.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments, though, of all of E3 was actually on Reddit. And one of the top videos is, I think it is the, like, it's one of the top videos for this week, the dude who was, like, in charge. He had earlier in the week, they were interviewing him. He was talking about, they're like, what about somebody who doesn't have any connection to the internet, because you have to, it's not an always on, but you have to like connect to the internet once every 24 hours.
Wasn't there like a soldier in Iraq or something who made a comment about that?
Yeah, and the guy said, well, we already have a system for that, for people out there who want that, and that's the 360. And it was just like a real, like, it was just such a, you know, a lot of the game industry took that very poorly. if you notice, like, one of the big things people talked about was, like, the PS4 is launching in every region in the world, including your third world countries, because it doesn't need internet, whereas the Xbox is only launching in first world countries. Which it's like, I don't know if I'm like personally offended by that as somebody who lives in America.
I'm so glad that now Siri can change the brightness on my phone by me just talking to it.
I know.
That's such a feature I'm really gonna enjoy for when I get woken up at 2 a.m. from my friends calling me.
Hey man, it happens. It's a big problem in my life.
I sounds like
but,
it.
I know.
Wait a couple years, so, the problem will go away.
I know. Bummer. It's one of those things where I look at it and I go, I don't really get it. Doesn't bother me so much because it's like it doesn't affect me personally. Yeah. But and even if I got an Xbox, it wouldn't affect me personally, so I don't really care.
As long as the servers don't go down, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. But what I do notice is that we totally got off topic here.
Online all the time. Sony's not. You talked about a video on Reddit or something.
Oh, thank you, on Reddit. So yeah, so that was the video. Well, later in the week there was a second video where like the mantra had really, really come out that like how messed up, especially after the PlayStation, how messed up everything was at Xbox. So that dude from the first video, basically it was a video that was and like the title was like, that dude like apologizes for what's going on with like Microsoft, and it like explains, hey, we're gonna rethink some of our policies before the actual launch of the Xbone, and you know, we're gonna go through it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe like public pressure is actually changing Microsoft. So I clicked on the video and it was a Rickroll. Which I was like, how is the Rickroll restarting? Like, first off, I thought that was dead. But it was like the best comments on Reddit where they were all like, you know what? I'm just taking the punishment because I deserve that. I bought into that so hard. I was so excited to watch that video. And oh my gosh.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love the internet.
Yeah. I know.
The good memes never die. You gotta learn that.
That is a really good point. They find their natural balance is what they do. They get overused and then they just kind of, they find where they're meant.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like every once in a while, the Hypnotoad, like once a month, something will get voted to the front page of Reddit, and it's just the Hypnotoad. And you're like, how does this still all?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Oh, really? It's this like crazy. It's a gif of a frog. It's all psychedelic, and its eyes are going nuts. And it's a reference from the show Futurama. But it's basically like usually it's a picture. It's that gif, and it just says, you know, like vote this to the front page. All hail the Hypnotoad. That's it. And then every comment is always like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this. This is just all hail the Hypnotoad. And like every comment is just like cut off with and ends with all hail the Hypnotoad. And it goes to the front page. You're just like, this is insane. How is this still going on? All hail the Hypnotoad. Okay, I get it. Yeah, you know, best memes never die. They just find their balance.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't hang out on Reddit enough. I gotta fix that.
Yeah. So I don't know, E3, and there were a bunch of games, dude. There were a bunch of games that come out, and I say I don't
any
play video
PlayStation
games.
Or Xbox games that look good.
Star Wars Battlefront 3 looks pretty awesome. It was like a super short teaser trailer, but it looked pretty cool. What was the other one that I really? Mirror's Edge looks pretty awesome. I thought the original one looked good. This one looks pretty clean. And then the other one that I was really excited for was I'm gonna have to play the first one first, but was not Uncharted, not Indigenous, was not undignified. What is it called? I said the name of the game earlier. Infamous. Infamous 2. Second Son. Which is pretty awesome and looks cool and looks fun. So I don't know. I might get into that, but we'll see. I'm a PC gamer, so a lot of times I get all excited about games. Yeah. Oh, and the Assassin's Creed expansion looks pretty cool. I like the idea of, you know, like the Assassin's Creed during
assassinating
the,
you know, people
like on the boats. It's like all about pirate ships now. Like, that's awesome. They figured out what people liked about that last game was the boats. So, very cool. Very cool. Cool E3, and like I said, I'm sure the shockwaves, the aftershocks of E3 will be felt for weeks and weeks and weeks to come.
Yeah. So. All right. Awesome. Cool. Thanks for paying attention to that. I didn't at all. The reason, though, is because, as we have already established, I was in Las Vegas.
I work for HP.
I don't think I said that today. But I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
Yeah, like, that's really funny. You didn't say that, and this is, like, the most important day for you to say that.
So it's all right. We got it.
Let's clarify. Yeah.
Yeah. Over an hour in, we got it. So I work for HP. I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions, which is going to be interesting, because this week I was at HP Discover in the Lost Vegas. And it's crazy, man. So they, like, pretty much took over a floor of the Venetian Hotel, Sands Convention Center. They just owned it, along with advertising all over Las Vegas. They spent some money. I think the stat was 10,000 people showed up to this convention.
Holy cow. That is a lot of people.
It was a lot of people. It was a lot of people. And there were booths. There were over 1,000 booths, over 6,000 like breakout sessions. 6,000 breakout sessions. Kind of hard to keep
track. How many of those did you go to?
Six or seven.
Well, you know, 0.1%.
It turned out I didn't get to go to as many things as I wanted to, because I'm on a secret team helping to create and launch a new product later this year that I can't talk about, but it's going to be awesome. And I had an opportunity to...
Oh, wait. Can we clarify something really quick?
Sure.
Can you talk about it off the show?
And maybe.
Wink if the answer is yes, but not on the camera so anybody can see.
No, we can't talk about it at all. I think I already told you about it. But anyways.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I had an opportunity to share it in the non-disclosure zone.
And,
so they let a guy in the press in without knowing it. So I can't talk about anything in there, which, quite frankly, is where the really cool stuff is, but that's all right. HP can innovate, too. I know.
Painful.
Matthew, you don't understand. Afterwards, so I was demoing this product to those people throughout the floor, and then they asked me to stay a day later, which I was already planning on doing anyways, to do the demo for an internal meeting, and I was the second one in line to show what we were coming up with, so I got to watch the one before me.
Yeah.
HP does have the ability to innovate. And they... Whatever. I saw stuff and went, that's cool. That's genuinely cool. And I can't say what it was, which is annoying.
Gradients and translucent panels innovating cool, or...
Let me just say, I went, ooh, I would buy that. That's cool.
So, that's,
you know,
pretty good.
I mean, assuming price points, I guess, but...
As far as standards, you know, of cool go, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I was there. I didn't get to go as much as I wanted to because I had that opportunity to share this product, and so I chose to do that instead of just, like, going everywhere all the time. Though I think I only did half as many as I could have as a result. Anyways, it was neat. Kevin Bacon showed up. He was part of the keynote presentation, which is cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm like
one step
closer to him now. no, no, I didn't. I'm not that cool. But I did meet some other people, which was neat. So anyways, the HP Discover event was really IT-focused, which, you know, as a guy in a podcast that covers consumer stuff, we're like, okay, less cool.
Right.
But, you know, a ton of stuff about servers and storage, which there's some cool things that they're doing. Sorry, I've typing and it freaks out.
I'm gonna say, dude, I could tell.
I know. It's not okay. I'm done. So a couple observations. The thing is massive. Tons of CIOs were there, and you know, learning about it. The other one, which I thought was interesting, a lot more Android phones than iPhones at the event. I mean,
really?
Like significant. It was easily a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of Samsungs and HTCs. Sorry, what?
Is that because it was a bunch of IT people?
Yeah, I think so. A bunch of geeks roaming around. yeah, and NHP's definitely, you know, got in the bed with the Android system. And so a lot of Elite Pads and Slates around. But yeah, I was kind of like, wow, there are a ton of Android users here. And they all had their phones out and stuff. So that was just an interesting focus.
Right.
So a couple things. HP showed off their new Moonshot servers and gave some stats on them. So they, again, Kevin Bacon was talking about all the connections in the world and like the results of that. And those connections require a lot of data and stuff like that. And HP was saying that they were looking at the trends of the amount of sharing and content that's being created, and therefore like the amount of storage and servers that will be required to service these. They're like, you know, you think about the number of smartphones, those all connect to the network somehow and all have processes right. that need to be managed. That requires a server farm of some sort to do it. And they were...
yes.
Right? Yeah. And so their whole thing was like, we started doing the math on what was going to be required in order to do this, and they were like, what was the number? It was ridiculous. Like, it was... for every, you know, 100 million, billion stuff, the end result was like over the next 5 years, they would have to create like 10, we would have to build 10 new PowerPoints to power the data centers required to run all the services we demand.
Wow.
Exactly. That was their reaction. Like, and we decided that's not sustainable.
yeah.
Like, I would agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
So they've created this new server technology that shrinks it all down, and which I didn't understand it at all. They were talking about stuff. But the extent of they were like, it uses, what was it? It was ridiculous. It was like 98% less energy, 70% less space, and there was one other ridiculous stack where they were just like, yeah, and you can do stuff a lot faster than normal too. And...
good.
You know, right. I mean, it was just like, they were talking about it, and they were like, so we have HP.com. They have HP.com. They said the entire thing, which gets like, it was ridiculous, like 300 million hits a month, something like that. Like, yeah, we're running on 3 of these servers now.
Whoa.
We are able to run HP.com on less than 16 household light bulbs worth of energy.
What the heck?
Exactly, right?
How much do these cost? I want one.
They're not cheap. Not cheap at all.
Yeah, I believe it.
They're designed for data center folks. And, you know, so it was like, whoa, that's, you know, that's legitimately cool. And so they were like, yeah, we're getting big into the space. I guess HP is number 2 in the server/storage market.
Right.
And they're trying to become number 1 by doing these things. And so, yeah, so I was like, wow, that's legitimately awesome and something that should be celebrated. Another thing that I saw that I went to was a talk about the future of HP Labs. And I was pumped about this one. I was like, I know they're not going to tell me anything like secret. I know. But they, again, they said our focus is on these servers and, you know, the IT type stuff. And so one of the things they talked about, they said they're talking about microgrids, where these are zero environmental impact types of places where they're able to save a ton of energy and get a ton of energy from, you know, sun and solar and stuff like that. And like, so the net impact, zero.
That's cool.
Yeah, and they were like, we even figured out how to put these things on trucks, so if we needed one in the middle of Africa, we could just take it there and hook it up, and it's done. It doesn't require anything else. It just will work. Or you have an event, and for whatever crazy reason, you need some servers there to service all the network or something. I don't know. Like South by Southwest. Like,
Let Google know about this, because this is a big deal.
Yeah, so they were talking about some of the things that they're doing there, which I was like, dude, that's awesome. They also talked about, here you go. They are figuring out how to use Memristors with their servers.
Finally.
Because they were like, this is a place where we can own the entire stack, and we don't have to worry about it integrating with other companies and people. It just will work the way you expect it to. Or, you know, it'll just work within our ecosystem that we create for our server farms, and that's where it makes sense at scale to do those types of things.
Right.
So they're like, we're doing Memristors. They're like, also photonics. And this guy was funny. He's like, if you think about it, copper is bad for the environment. It's slow, whatever. Let's just use light.
Like, that's awesome.
That's cool.
I like your plan.
Let's do that. And so... so there, a lot of their focus is on doing things a lot more efficiently and faster, I guess. And then they talked about they're building on top of these data centers both visual analytics so that you can very quickly look at a dashboard and figure out what's going on, and also, like, he called them algorithm analytics, where it'll do load balancing and other types of networking things that it'll just do them in real time, fast, and so it'll be a lot more efficient where you won't have to have a bunch of space just in case. It's like, that won't be needed because we'll be smart enough to move everything around where it needs to go and use stuff that's not being used right now. Or so I didn't fully understand it, but I was like, oh, sounds cool.
It sounds very neat.
I like it. Yeah, good work.
Yeah. It's nice. Nice job, guys. So it's Hansel code. I've never really listened to the music, but I'm really inspired by the fact that he's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was neat. That was one of the other talk that I went to that I know for certain that you will get a kick out of was called "Disruptive Trends Shaping the Future of Tablets and Wearables."
Cool.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you the same question I ask everybody else. Should I buy a Pebble?
So this was really interesting, actually, because he did talk about watches. And this was cool. He sat there and said, okay. He said there's two, like, big things that are going on. Watches are one, this idea of information displays and whatever, and then health is another space that seems to be a big deal. As you've seen with the Fitbit, the Up, the Nike Fitband. He's like, those seem to be, there's a lot of movement in those particular areas. He also talked about glasses, said, like, the problem with glasses, which is exactly what Tim Cook said, he's like, they're highly personal. And the closer you get to your body, the more personal it is. You know, people personalize the desktops on their computers. They might have added a couple stickers with their phones. They're adding cases. They're adding all sorts of stuff to it. They're very personal. You imagine these wearables that are on your body, especially something that's on your face that everyone looks at. He's like, you've got to be able to personalize that to the max. And he's like, I don't know if we're quite ready to go there. But he's like, it will. There's no question about it. It'll happen. But he said, like, watches are the current space, and so are these, health sensors. And this was – I really like this one example he gave. He goes, okay. First he showed this chart. It's just this – it, you know, sears your brain chart, where it's all these different watch products, and then you had all the stats, the number of sensors, the battery, the operating system, the chip type, just like Ian broke them all down. And he goes, what do you notice about these? I'm like, it's hard to read. I don't know. He goes, I'll tell you. He goes,
you're bad at making slides. That's what I noticed.
He goes, you notice that every single one of these is using a different chip and a different operating system. He goes, there's nobody winning here. There's no dominant player. This is a wide open field. And then he flipped over to the health bands, the exact same situation. He goes, here's what I want you to understand the opportunity space that we're looking at and why this is huge. Let's use the Nike Fuel Band as an example. He goes, what is it? It's a small piece of plastic, a display that you can barely read, and he goes, and it has a single sensor inside of it. Is that right?
Yeah.
$150 is what they're charging. He goes, and sales are through the roof of this thing. Okay?
Yeah.
It was super popular. He goes, now let's contrast this. HP has a slate that is for $169, so $20 more. He goes, you get a 7-inch piece of glass. It's got 7 sensors inside of it. It runs a full operating system and does all these other things and has a battery, you know, life that's not as good, but, you know, it's a good tablet, which I would agree. It's a good-looking tablet. He goes, do you think there's a little bit of margin built into Nike's Fuel Band?
Yeah.
And he goes, so we're talking about an industry where he's like, the margins are awesome and people are buying them like crazy. Yeah, I think this is where we're all going to go.
Yeah.
And when you think about it like that, you're like, yeah, no doubt about it. And yes, Apple is looking into it. Yes, Google is looking into it. So is Amazon and every single other hardware manufacturer, probably including HP and including Dell. Okay, maybe not Dell because they're focused on other stuff.
Yeah,
But it's like, I don't have any insider information. I don't know about HP. But he's like, duh, Apple's working on a watch. You know, it's just, of course.
Yeah, it's funny. When you put it in that context, it just becomes, it's like, how are you and I not looking into making watches?
Right?
Just, you know, they're... Because I keep thinking about the fact that I really am bummed that I lost my Fitbit, but it's just hard to justify that extra $100. Now, I have noticed that I don't know how much I'm moving anymore, and I like keep thinking I should just get a pedometer and, you know, but at the same time, you know, like a $10 one, I probably should just get one and see if that would work. But I keep, you know, I want the Fitbit because it was awesome and it had the whole Bluetooth thing and like allowed me to compete with people. Blah, blah, blah. But I wonder, yeah, I there's a part of me that's like, it's $100 for that little piece of thing? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, that's expensive.
Yeah,
you're still paying for the R&D of the first version is what you're doing.
Right. And their wristband version's even more expensive. And he just is like, that's crazy. I can't understand how. And the worst part about the wristband one is not only is it more expensive, but it doesn't have the meter that like the
stairs part. Called?
Yeah, it's not a barometer, but it works like a barometer. And, you know, and or maybe it's a barometer, whatever. It's your altitude measurement. And you sit there and go, like, you took away a sensor and you put you put 3 cents of plastic into it so that you could put it in, turn it into a wristband, and you charge $50 more. What the heck? It doesn't even make sense. And, you know, and they're doing the same thing of like, well, people don't need the altimeter. That's what it's called. People don't need the altimeter. They're not that excited about it. But pretty much they just want a little accelerometer that costs, you know, 13 cents worth of silicon. And they hook it up to a Bluetooth antenna. And boom, we're out the door for $20 or we're selling it for $150.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? That's ridiculous. But yeah, and so when you put it in that context of what the margins are like on that, that is Apple margin territory. That's the sort of thing that Apple gets really excited about.
Dude, that's not just Apple. That's like drug margin.
Well, exactly.
Gangster money on that stuff.
Exactly. And you sit there and you go, when you realize that, that's when the big boys decide, we're going to play in your space and we're going to crush you like a bug.
Well, and we're going to charge a fair price. And, you know, we'll start out a little higher. Don't get us wrong. But we'll come out and say, yeah, it's only $50, which is, again, I HP's example with the slate. They went, no, we're not going to charge $250. We can make it for $170. We can make it for $150. We'll sell it for $170. And we'll just sell a ridiculous number.
Well,
of them.
Yeah, and what you'll see is you'll see Apple sell their watch for $200 and HP sell their watch for $100, and you're talking about a full featured watch with a screen, Bluetooth, pedometer, accelerometer, blah 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 blah. You know, the whole nine yards, and they'll be the exact same phone. They'll be the exact same system. It's just one will have all of the amazingness that is Apple, and one will have all of the plasticness that is HP. That was mean. But you know, especially since you guys make aluminum computers now, they look kind of nice. But
actually, do look kind of cool.
I know it's a good look. It's hard to go wrong with it, really. I mean, it was a good call on Johnny Ive's part, the man who doesn't exist.
The legend.
Exactly. It's one of those things where, yeah, I don't know. It definitely feels like, but it's entirely possible that everybody's going to shrug their shoulders and go, sounds to me like the price point's $150 that people are willing to pay for. So maybe we will sell ours for $149.
Yeah, I think they're going to look at you're going to look at the volumes of that stuff, and I know, looking at HP's track record, they're going to they tend to price it aggressively.
You think it'll be a super race to the bottom, though?
They're going to do the math, and they're going to say, yeah, we could probably sell a couple million of them at 150, or we could sell 100 million at 50. That's the game that they play. And then they're going to say, and we'll lock him into our technology and ecosystem, and it'll be great. Or something. So I think it'll happen. I think Apple will still price $200 and sell more than anybody else, because it will look amazing. And but anyways, so this was this talk. And then what he said, it's going to take another step where we are increasing the number of sensors attached to us, and they're getting closer to us. And he was talking about how eventually it's going to take into account our context of the situation we're in, not just us, which, you know, you're like, yeah, it's headed there. And he just talked about how we're going to have all this data, essentially, that's being collected, and we're going to get better about processing that data, even in, like, real time, which I was like, man, you're talking about automating my job. That's all right. I guess that's cool. I can find a new one, I guess. and he gave this really cool example, because he's like, because it's not only going to be on people, it'll be on things. And the example he gave was, he says, you have an airplane. And then we're going to have sensors everywhere on this airplane. And it'll be to the point where when the plane takes off, all these sensors are recording data and information about, you know, all the way from simple things like the, what are those, like joints, anywhere where things move, to engine temperatures and speeds and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it'll be analyzing all those movements in real time while the plane is flying. And by the time it lands, this airplane will send a report to the mechanic on the ground that prints off, here's your to-do list of the things to look into. You know, here's the 10 things that, you know, this needs to be greased, or this nut needs to be tightened, or, you know, there was an issue here that it looks into. He's like, and it'll be doing all of this analysis in real time, cognitive computing, to figure out what's going on, and you'll instantly be able to, you know, they'll do a better job of maintaining these airplanes, and it'll save them a ton of money, and they'll actually get it in the ground. You know, they'll actually get things going a whole lot faster. Give another example of, like, the air conditioning in this building. They're like, dude, it's probably like 5 megawatts just to cool this place. It's unbelievable. They're like, what if you had sensors on each of the different units, and you could tell, okay, this place is cooler, this place is warmer, and you could rebalance it and be a little bit more efficient about how it goes. So you're like, you'll actually save some money. And that's valuable. And, you know, sort of like, so we're going to get them on people, and we're going to get them on things, and we're going to connect them all to the internets, and the NSA is going to love it. And then what we're going to do is find better ways to analyze it and connect everything together. And it will, in the meantime, we'll actually save time and resources, but somehow we'll all be working more.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. But yeah, that was the picture that was painted for the future, which a lot of the stuff we've talked about, I think even last week we talked about that whistle product for Fido, and you know, which I think falls into that same category of just adding sensors everywhere. But that was definitely a huge theme at HP Discover. HP gets it. They see it, and they're trying to provide the back end to enable all of that.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that is forward thinking. I mean, because that makes sense. As there's more and more data, it needs to be processed somewhere. A lot of it'll be done on your phone.
So their goal is to store it cheaper and to analyze it faster. They did give a cool example of NASCAR, where you know what NASCAR is.
What is NASCAR?
It's these cars that go around the track at unsafe speeds.
Yeah, they turn right a lot.
Yeah. And so what they were talking about doing with that one is they wanted to do some social sentiment analysis. So HP put together a system where they were just, you know, vacuuming in all the data, like, again, the NSA. And which is... they're not alone collecting data
right.
on what we say and do. That was my big takeaway. I was like, then this is different from other companies for profit. How? But they're vacuuming. They're, you know, collecting a whole bunch of social data, whether it's tweets or status updates or probably not text messages and emails, but public information. Maybe that's the difference. And
it is a big difference.
And they're helping them analyze it in real time, so they can find out what people are talking about and then address it. The example they gave was they developed this new technology for drying the track after it rains to like a quarter of the time to do it. So what used to be like a 3-hour process, they can do it in like a half hour. That's not
because they can't drive on the track if there's any
at unsafe speeds.
If any wetness at all. I mean, like the track has to be pristine in order to not kill everybody, which they occasionally do anyway.
Yeah. So what they were able to do was they found that a lot of people that are waiting for it to start were tweeting about it and talking about it and asking questions. Well, what is this? This is new. This is different. And so they were in real time able to go, oh, this is cool. Let's do a spot. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this thing. And so that's what they did. They filled the time. Instead of talking about the racers and who's better than what, they're like, let's talk about how the thing's being dried. Because they knew in real time, and they didn't even think about it beforehand, that people would be interested in how this is being done. And so they were like, you know, advertisers loved it because people were tuning in. The fans loved it because we explained what was going on and we were being responsive to them. And so that was just an example of one of the things that HP is helping companies do. We'll store the data. We'll help you collect it. We'll help you store it. And then we'll help you analyze it in a way that's meaningful, fast, so that you can respond and, you know, do cool stuff with it.
Right.
Yeah, it was neat. There's my HP commercial. I don't represent them, but it's genuinely cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, no, that's cool. I like it. They talked about other stuff, but...
I don't know how much I can complain about your HP commercial, considering the fact that we had a almost 45-minute long Apple commercial followed by a 30-minute long Sony commercial, so it's...
That's
I don't
true.
Know if anybody who's any of our listeners have really realized that's what we are. We're just a commercial service.
Was neat. They talked about they're working to try to help people make cross-platform apps a lot faster.
That's a big one for
but
me.
Not the,
I
not,
wish there was a lot more.
Not the way
that,
Adobe does it. They're like, we've hired like 700 developers, and you can hire us as a service to help you out.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that's kind of what was the word I had for that one? Where I was just like, oh, that's just a brute force method. That's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Clean, simple, maybe not. Effective, probably not. Or efficient, definitely not. Nope. Effective, though, I'd say.
Gets the job done.
Effective.
You know, but their whole thing is, and again, they're not like going to help out Foursquare do it. It's you're a big IT company that has an in-house app. They'll help you roll it out to all the other systems for your employees, not necessarily a public-facing app.
That's cool.
Is really HP's focus because they're like, you know, bring your device to work is kind of a real thing. It's happening. That's something that you have to deal with whether you like it or not. And apparently for a lot of these companies, I laughed at this, there'll be subgroups where you get some techie guy in there, he goes, oh, I built an app for the group. And the group will start using it. And now here you have this, you know, this CIO who's like, whoa, what the heck? We got all these apps popping up that people are using that are not sanctioned at all. And now they're asking me to build them an Android version. You know, or it breaks and they come to them for tech support. He's like, oh, we don't.
Right.
I don't even know. We don't support this, but that's not. That's also not a viable answer because now workflows have been created around it, and it's important.
I was gonna say, it's now part of your workflow, and it's you know, yeah, that's terrible. That's awesome. Oh man, I love the future. How I love technology.
Yeah. So HP is trying to. They're like, we're not ignoring it. And I like this. They said, and of course, we're building the tools and the systems to work really well with Elite pads and slates and printers.
Yeah.
So that.
I'm going to say, and printers.
Well, and so their whole thing is, well, of course, we will play nice with everybody, but we're also going to try to set it up so that if you are on the fence, you go, oh, I'll go with HP because they just made my life a little easier by doing a little better integration than, you know, say, going with Apple or Dell or something. And so. Yeah. You know, which you're like, dude, that's awesome. You know, yeah, no, that totally makes sense. No matter what, you're happy, you're adding value, and if you can even take it just that one step further to say, yeah, and you play in our ecosystem, it'll be even better. Like, that's cool. So that was my week for the most part. Just taking all that in. I ate a ton of food. It was all free, which was really nice. I walked around a lot. There were a lot of people, like I said. A lot of HP blue, for sure. I don't know how much money they spent on putting this thing together, but man, it was big. Because they had demos. They had over like these stations, and there were over 1,000 of them because they had them all numbered, and there were more than 1,000. Where you could just walk up, and they'd tell you about, oh, here's the thing we're working on. And they'd show you a demo of it if it made sense, or show you the product, and, you know, you could check it out. Like I was talking about one of those modular server things. They actually brought one inside, so you could check it out.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, it was huge. It was huge, for sure. Man, it was unbelievable. But yeah, Meg was there, of course. She spoke a little bit about the future.
Kutzman?
Yep, that's the one. And then a bunch of other execs got up and made speeches the next day. Which was cool. You know, they showed off some of the new products we're working on and what they're doing. We were like, and we're making it so you can print from your mobile phones on all of our new printers. It's awesome. And they did a demo of that, which was... I was like, oh, that's a LaserJet product. Yeah, I care. And, yeah.
It's cool, man.
It was neat. So there you go. That was HP Discover. I don't know if I'll go next year. I didn't really. It was like $1,200 to go. Oh, and the other thing is they had a concert of Carlos Santana at MGM Garden Arena.
How's that?
He is a very good musician, and I like his music, so that was good.
Right.
And again, what's awesome about this is you walk into the arena and it's just. Everything's open, like all the food stands and stuff. It's just free. You just, oh, what do you
Whoa.
Want? Here you go. That's where the $1,200 thing comes in. We're like, yeah, no, they bust us over. We walked in. They were like, oh, you want popcorn? No problem. Oh, you want nachos? No problem. Oh, you want a soda? No problem. Oh, you want a beer? No problem. They were.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was.
I'm getting fat just thinking about that.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I was like, wow, man, these guys are. Feed me well. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. HP Discover. I discovered a couple things. HP's innovating. You know, they're working on it, which is nice to hear. Got a little bit of the mojo back.
Yeah. Sweet, man.
For the
IT
folks, at least.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next couple of months. I think there's going to be some good stuff going on, and you know, yeah. Well, that'd be good. So I don't what's our clock at right now? I thought we started at 2 hours ago.
Pretty close. We got like 10 more minutes before we hit the 2-hour mark.
Okay.
Let's talk about this last one real quick, because I know you were excited about it.
Yeah, so I'll be honest. I love tech. I love companies competing in consumer stuff, and it's just fun, but there's a certain amount of vapidness to the whole thing that rarely actually elicits an emotional enthusiasm for humanity response. Apple does the best out of everybody about making me really excited for, like, man, it's going to be human. And, like, you're helping the world out. And it's like, and because they do just the best commercials. And which is what's interesting about it is that it's like a lot of times this technology is really great and it is really changing lives. And not just, you know, we're not just entertaining ourselves to death, but we're actually affecting the world in a positive way. Apple just does the best job of highlighting that generally. But this is a project that Google is getting involved in that on one hand is just like ridiculous and it's okay, that's awesome. On the other hand, it's just absolutely up my alley because it's one of the weird things I have interested in. Another part, just awesome for humanity. It's Project Loon, if you haven't heard about it. It's a little bit loony. Thank you for laughing. Basically, what they're doing is they're going to make a bunch of blimps that just stay up in the atmosphere and do internet. It's great. And because they decided that, you know, that internet is awesome and it changes lives and it, especially and most dramatically, it changes the lives of those who are least able to get it, really. They said a statistic, it's like one out of every two people. We say everybody's online, but that's not true. It's like one out of every two people is online. No, one out of every three. So there's like twice as many people that aren't online as are online, but that's like not, that's assuming normal distribution of human beings, whereas like obviously there's a higher concentration of internet connected to peeps in first world countries. So it's like in a lot of areas in the world, you know, you'll get entire regions where there's 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000 that are connected to the internet. And so they were asking the question, how do we close that gap? How do we make the areas where it's 1 in 10,000 smaller? And how do we make the areas where it's, you know, 1 in 1,000 where we get it down to 1 out of 2? How do we get everybody the internet? And obviously one side of that equation is you have to have a device that connects to the internet, which really has been something that, you know, projects like $100 laptop. What?
OLPC.
What's that one?
One laptop per child.
Yeah, there we go. $100 laptop. Okay. I was like, what is that acronym? But yeah, that's something that they've been hitting on. But their strategy had always been like, how do we bring the internet to that? And so they had their like weird ad hoc network, well, weird but amazing ad hoc networking thing, which would like, you know, it would basically leapfrog, daisy chain, you know. And so it was like super slow internet, but it was internet and it would go across everywhere. But they did that big experiment. OLPC did that big experiment where they basically, it wasn't a huge experiment, but they did with the Ethiopia, and they just dropped off a box and left. And the box had a bunch of tablets in it that were designed to educate and teach them how to use the tablets, and it was in their language. And they found that after like 3 months, some kid had already like rooted the sucker, and well, they didn't rooted it, but they had gone through and they had figured out how to get around the security so that they had been able to customize them all. And they're like, what the heck, how are these kids be able to do this? This is awesome. And they're like learning, and they're learning how to spell, and they're learning how to read, and they're learning in a real significant way. And the only real limitation that these devices had for these children is that there's no internet. They had nothing more than what was already on the device. And so if you could hand this device to these kids, and these things were cheap tablets. They were like less than $100 tablet, full touch integration. You hand these kids the tablet and an internet connection, and you could really significantly alter the course of humanity. And it's like, you know, like when you watch Star Trek, a lot of Star Trek is like, especially their technology, and the reason why where they are is because of stuff like the replicator, where they talk about the idea that like we just suddenly realized we had enough for everybody, so good times, yay, you know. It's like and like a lot of the peace and enthusiasm for prosperity and the raising people out of poverty came from the free share of infinite amounts of information. That's what Google's like. I think we can do this. I actually think we can do this. And they're doing it with remote control blimps, which is just like awesome. Really awesome. Specifically for me, because I
kind of like, how do I get into this group?
I'm not even joking about that. I actually, I've been coming up with a strategy like the last few days. Cause I was thinking basically what I need to do is I need to find out like somebody in the group, and I need to basically say, look, I just want to find out what you guys are doing because I think it's awesome. So let me take you out to lunch sometime and start like that sort of informational interviewing. Like I'm just curious. I want to meet you people because I think this is awesome. And it's the sort of thing where I'll never get invited to be part of that group. I would drop my job that I have and I love so fast. If they would bring me into that group, it would make people's heads spin. Because that's the sort of thing where it's like, you know, remote control blimps are just awesome. If you're not familiar with a remote control blimp, like commercial grade remote control blimp, it's super lame. They're the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, like, they work, but there's just not a big market for it, so there's no real innovation in it. So I'm like, all of my RC like experimentation is all pointed in the direction of building my own remote control blimps. And so basically they're going like, yeah, we're gonna do that. And we're going to change people's lives with them. I'm just, oh my gosh, this is like the coolest project. Like, the way people get excited about, you know, like, this, I don't know. This is the kind of stuff that I wish Apple would do occasionally. Like, we've got tons of money, so we're just going to shoot for the moon and Google occasionally does actually shoot things at the moon. So it's not necessarily the greatest analogy, but,
No, I understand what you're saying, though.
But that idea, we're gonna try to change the world, and this one's one of those like ridiculous ones where it's like, yeah, it makes some money because, you know, like in a very tangential way, if everybody has the internet, then everybody can use Google and that'll make them money, blah 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 blah. But I get the feeling that as far as they're concerned on this sort of one, it's just sort of a, I actually feel like this is a humanitarian project. They're just trying to make the world a better place. This is like the root of their, you know, do no evil. This is like the antithesis of it. We're not trying to avoid being evil here. We're actually trying to be cool. We're trying to be good. Well, I think this one will cost us, you know, and the best part about it is it just so happens to be a service that makes us money. But, you know, eventually, theoretically. But I have a feeling that if this one took off, it would cost way more than they'd ever make up, you know, until you add some real integration on the ground. And the only thing that it does is it accelerates the movement of wireless, hardcore, powerful internet around the world, you know, and actual infrastructure building. That's the only thing that this will do, is it'll accelerate it. And so this is one of those ones where it's like, if you think of this as an investment, it's the sort of long-term investment that you can't calculate the value of. It's just, it's too complicated an equation. You're just saying, I think this is good. And if it's good for other people, I think it's good for us, so we're going to do it. I don't know. Let's go. You know, and I don't know. It's exciting. It's definitely – it's everything else this week has been, like, awesome. I'm super stoked because I want to buy this. I want to spend my money this way. I want to play with this. I want to talk about it on the show. This is the one that actually is eliciting me to want to change what I do with my life. Because it's the sort of – sometimes I like to dream about how I could change the world, and this one's, I don't know, it's tangible. They're actually going to try to do it, which is cool.
That is cool.
It's absurd, and it's fun, and it's, I don't know, it's cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, sounds like it. You gotta figure that out, man.
I think and the best part is, they probably work down the street from me, so that's awesome. I can do that. Everybody should move to the Silicon Valley. Don't do that. Housing prices is nuts already, man. It's it's stupid. Everybody go away. Bring the prices back down.
Move to Oregon. I already own a couple. Let's increase the prices.
Yeah, exactly. Man, deal.
I like it. Very cool. Yeah, no, it does look like a neat project. It definitely feels more magnanimous than greed-related.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just flat out interesting and neat, and something that you kind of go, yeah, I would expect Google to do something like this. In the sense,
it sounds,
it's pretty crazy, but you know, they're crazy folks. I like their website too. It's kind of cool how you can,
and their videos were like really inspiring and stuff.
It's like a little kid talking. You know. Just check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, just well done overall.
Dude, Apple did a 10-minute one about like why apps change the world. That one got a me a tingly feeling too. It was a little less high-minded in its "we're just going to try to change the world," but at the same time, pretty they're good at that kind of stuff, man. They make me feel happy for buying an iPhone, which I don't know how that. Like, I don't know the connection there at all, but definitely makes me feel good about it.
That's funny. That's the point. Right there, exactly. With Coke. Trying to make you emotional appeal.
They have the worst commercials, though. Have you noticed? I tweeted about this while watching.
I know. That's why I mentioned
watching,
it.
Thank you. While watching Superman.
Don't tell me anything about it. I haven't seen it yet.
I know. I'm not about to say anything except the fact that the Coke commercials are awful. There is absolutely no inspiration at all. They're so bland, and I'm going to use the word vapid again because I'm in the mood to use that word. But it's they're just – I can't – I mean they're like – they're worse than Styrofoam. I'd rather eat Styrofoam than watch those commercials, and they just – just nothing. There's nothing
I would
there.
I'd rather eat Styrofoam than watch those commercials.
They're just, oh my goodness. And our sister was all up in the T-Swift commercial, but at least that one had like the people like singing along the song and like, you know, like a shared human experience as opposed to what most of theirs are, which like don't even inspire like, yeah, being human is cool and fun sometimes, and I like to drink Coke when I'm being human. At least cool. The Taylor Swift, like, at least that one has an ounce of that. The rest of them, like, oh, I just can't even wrap my head around. And the point is, it's just brand recognition. That you would be better off. I think they would be better off by just putting Coke with pulsating lights and like music. Just notice our brand. Notice our brand. And that's all it is. It's just meant to be nothing. The least aggressive ad campaign of all time. You know, at least with McDonald's, they do stuff that is so pointed at specific demographics where like they're completely market driven. We're trying to appeal to this group, so we're going to go with every stereotype we can in order to appeal to them, which there's a certain like sociological study in that, and like they're like completely non-offensive stereotypes. It's amazing. They're like, we've done market research so that we know that this is true about this specific ethnic group, so we're going to target them that way. You're like, what the guys, come on. There's like the complete lack of creativity is astounding and kind of offensive, but like with Coke, they don't even go that far. It's just, oh gosh, I don't even know, man. You got me started.
I did. Well, on that rant, I think we'll close it up for the evening. Good talk. Big things, man. Apple's WWDC, E3 with Sony just killing it in a good way. HP, we discovered a lot about them, and Google attempting to change the world, which is nice. Yes, we did know that Facebook finally got tags. Good for them. Big deal, guys. Changing the world. And Office is coming to the iPhone for 365 subscribers.
We briefly mentioned that.
Cool. But yeah, big week. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. My name is James Frillo, and my brother with the new haircut, which is looking awesome, woo! By the way.
Thank
looking
you.
Looking good. His name is Matthew Dean Frillo, and we will talk next time.
We are live and ready.
We're live, ready, broadcasting to the world.
I kind of miss the days where I would say, are we live? Every time. Yes, we're live.
For the time being.